I trust in God. And he heard. And he answered. Ha ha! Whatever you're going through this morning, whatever you're wrestling with this morning, the Bible says if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you've confessed and given your life to Jesus Christ, but you're still going through the same demonic struggles that you've always gone through, hallelujah, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord, because he'll hear and he will answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for all the prayers, requests that you have answered, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the difference that your actions made in our lives, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be a part of your end time plan, hallelujah, and your purpose, Lord God, today. Today we come, Lord God, to be enlightened, hallelujah, to another extent, to another level, Lord God. Show us something that we have not seen in the past. We desire to grow in your will, in your plan. We desire, Lord God, to do and to be all that you've called us to do and to be, Lord God. We desire to please you. Today we're seeking you. We're seeking you. We're seeking your will and your way. Now, Father God, speak to us. We know you'll answer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. 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 I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard. Oh, man, listen, if you're not living this life, you're missing something. If you're operating in your own power and your own strength, you're missing something. I'm just telling you, you're missing something. If you're just trying to prove to people you're a good person, you're missing something. The reality is nobody cares. They may not tell you that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. If you're not a new creature, you know when you're a new creature. You don't have to guess at that. Your actions, hallelujah, will be totally different. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Hallelujah. I know that there's some people sitting right here in this room that sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. And as a result of that, you are a new person today. Can I get a witness to that? Hallelujah. 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 I sought the Lord, and he heard. See, a lot of times we don't think God's going to hear us. But he is. He does. He hears. And he answers. Every time he will answer. Every single time he will answer. The issue might be in your hearing. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. And how to hear his voice. But he answers. He answers. You know, in the summer of 1980, you know, I sought the Lord. On the island of Guam. I sought the Lord. And he heard. And he answered. Amen. Hallelujah. And life has never been the same since. Never been the same since. Doesn't mean I haven't had any struggles, any problems, any circumstances, negative circumstances. But let me tell you something. Every time those things pop up in my life, I seek the Lord. And he hears. And he answers. Amen? Hallelujah. Once you understand that, and once you get confident in that, let me tell you something. Life is not the same anymore. You don't worry about anything anymore. Because all you know is that all you need to do is seek the Lord. With a pure heart and a right heart. Amen? Amen? With a good heart. There's nothing God can't change. There's nothing God can't change. Believe me. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm saying get into the New Testament. Or the Old Testament for that concern. But in the New Testament, we saw Jesus coming here and doing things more frequently than we saw in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, let me tell you something. Listen, blind eyes were opened. Lameness was changed. Leprosy was just disappeared. Amen. Just disappeared. Thousands of people were fed with just crumbs. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord this morning. What do you need? What do you need from God? What do you need? What do you need? What do you really need? Amen. What do you really need? What do you really need from God? Seek God. You need a miracle? See, we're afraid to ask for a miracle. I don't know about a miracle, but look, you need a miracle. Ask God. Just ask God. Just ask God. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. You know, when I got ready to get married again after my wife had died, I gave God a list. This is what I want. I ain't gonna tell you all the stuff on that list. But he did. He gave me everything I asked for. Everything I asked for. I put a lot of stuff on the list. Crazy stuff on the list. I told God, let me tell you, I'm just talking. It's all right. Just talking. I say, God, you know, I told him I want a pretty wife. So that right off the bat, he said, no problem. I got one of them. I got one of them. And then I told God, I said, God, listen, I don't want no wife with children. Now I got four children myself, babies at the time. I said, I don't want no wife with children because I don't want us in here fighting about these children. Are you with me? You said, well, all right, they ain't going to fight. Pastor, oh, you bring them together. Then it'd be my children and your children. So I told him, I said, I don't want no wife with no children. As a matter of fact, I don't want nobody that's ever had children. Never, don't do it. Then I just gave him the list. You know, I just gave him the list of some of the other things I wanted. And if I had given the list to any of you, you'd have said, you know, Pastor, you're being unreasonable with this stuff. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered, and now it's 35 years later. Amen? Hallelujah. I haven't been put out of the house once. Hallelujah. So all is well. Amen? Listen, we're falling so short selling for religion. To going into some building and somebody playing music and saying some things. Say, we're settling for that. Look. God wants to have a father-child relationship with you. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He don't want you staying up all night because you got some sort of physical ailment in your body. Hello? When COVID came around, listen, all the symptoms said, Dan, you're going to die. But when I recognized what the devil was saying, then I had to stand up inside and say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. But all the symptoms were there that I was supposed to die. But I said, no. I know how to seek the Lord. Amen. I know how to seek the Lord. So I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Amen. So I'm here today. Hallelujah. I don't care what it is you need. That'll be the end of the sermon right now. I don't care what, listen, who would pass this up for religion? Come on now. Who would pass it up for religion? Don't you dare do that. Don't do that. Don't act like you're saved if you're not saved. Get saved. Is that not right? That's what you need to do. Because if you're not saved, let me tell you something. When you take your last breath, you're going to hell. That's a hard thing to say to people. But I didn't create hell. The reality is, if you're not saved, the Bible says if a man be in Christ, he's a
new creature.
So if that newness hasn't taken place in your life, chances are you don't have what you think you got. And I don't care how much you please the person sitting next to you, if you don't have it and you stop breathing, you're going to hell. It ain't gonna be so funny then. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. Now, let me tell you something. This is just totally out of context of my message here today. But because I started talking about heaven and hell, let me tell you something. Once you're saved, once you're genuinely saved, listen, you can't get saved and unsaved and saved and unsaved. It can't happen to you. All right? It won't happen. You either saved or you're not saved. But once you get saved, let me tell you, that don't mean that you're going to do the will of God. Don't mean that you're going to do what's right. All right? But even if you step out of the will of God, let me tell you something. It don't mean you're going to hell. It just means you're going to experience a season of disorder. Now, if you want to keep going, it's like a spanking. Anybody ever got spanked?
Amen.
I told you about my grandma's spankings. So You could be saved and still do something outside of the will of God. That don't mean you're going to lose your salvation, but old brother, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to pay a price. Been there, done that. Amen? But if you're not saved and you take that last breath, you're going straight to hell. And God don't want to see none of us go to hell. None of us. He says, that's right. That's his will that none perish. None perish. So if you've been playing church, stop it. That's all I can tell you. Stop it. I don't want God to say, Dan, why don't you tell him? I told them. Amen. I told them. Get saved. Just get saved. And why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? What is the devil holding out to you that's so good? Why? You know what? Nothing at all. Let's talk about hearing God's voice, because I'm going to go in nine directions if I don't start here in a minute. I've learned that one of the most important things that we could do as Christians is learn to hear God's voice. Because most of the time, if not all the time, you know, when God says something, it's not going to necessarily line up with what you want. It's not. But once you hear his voice and recognize his voice, and you decide that you're going to obey his voice, things will work out for you every single time. Every single time. I told you a few minutes ago about how I didn't want to come to Ahoskie. Hallelujah. But 38 years later, I realized, listen to me now, this is the very best thing that could have happened to my life. Amen. Amen. Very best things. Had I done and went in the direction that my heart and my head wanted to go to, it would have been a mess. But this winds up, 38 years later, I realized, hey, God knew what he was talking about. God knew what he was doing. See, some of you, God has told you to go in a certain direction, do a certain thing, say a certain thing, or whatever it is, but it didn't make sense to you because it didn't line up with what you want. Let me tell you a little secret. It's not about what you want. It's never been about what we want. We don't know enough to know what we need. We really don't. Hallelujah. We really don't. God tell the husband and the wife, he gave them some basic instructions. He told the husband to do one thing, told the wife to do another thing. He said, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love. Because the church don't always do what it's supposed to do. So he was telling the husband, love your wife, even when she don't always do what she's supposed to do. And then he told the wife, what did he tell the wife? He said, submit. Come on now, we need to know this. Submit to your husband. Are you with me? Submit to, why? Many wives don't have any problem submitting to a boss that's paying them. They don't have any problems doing that at all. But because of the closeness of the relationship, listen to me, when the husband don't do what they want him to do, a lot of time, all of a sudden that submissive thing just go right out the window. I don't hear too many smiles about that. It just go right out of the window. You think God meant what he said? He said, well, God, that don't make sense to me. God said, I never intended it to make sense to you. Just do what I tell you to do. And that's why there's a lot of strife, because we as human beings, we really want to do what we want to do. How do you submit to your husband when they're going totally different from the way that you want them to do? Well, I tell you, listen, as long as they're not doing anything ungodly, as long as they're not breaking the scripture, listen, breaking the word of God, as long as they're not trying to physically hurt you or mentally or spiritually hurt you, you know, that I'd recommend just doing what God said do and trusting God. Now, this message is not about husband and wives, but it's about hearing God's voice. But we don't even understand the positions that we have placed ourselves in under the title of being Christians. I don't even know what most people think that really is. I know if you ask folks, they'll say, well, it just means being saved. Well, what does that mean? Well, when it comes down to it, it really means turning your life over to God. Turn them completely over to God, completely over to God. Just like you're the child, just like you're a two-year-old child, and you're under the leadership of your parents. You don't do 60% of what the parents tell you to do. The parents expect you to do 100% of what they tell you to do. Can I get an amen on that? That's the position we're in. That's what being saved means. That he becomes our Lord. Come on now. That's what it means. So to the husbands and the wives, if he tell you to love your wife, well, no. And to the wife, tell you to submit to your husband, that's what it means. Well, you don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. Come on. Come on. We got to get a message on that one time. Hallelujah. We got to get a message on that. Our culture has messed us up so badly. It really has. And I'll talk about that later. You know, the mark of a true disciple is the ability to hear God's voice and then obey. Amen. That's what this whole thing is all about. In a nutshell. You know, you'll go to one Christian church and they do things this way. They espouse certain things out of their mouths. But you go to another Christian church and they do things another way and they're speaking a different thing. And you go to another Christian church and they're doing things totally different. It's never been about that. It's about hearing God's voice and obey. Just hearing God's voice and obey. That's the easiest way I can wrap this thing up. Hear God's voice and then obey. Well, you say, well yesterday, let's say, well, today I didn't hear God tell me anything. Then my advice to you is keep doing the last thing he told you to do. Just keep doing it until he tell you to do something different. That's what this whole thing is all about. Hearing God's voice, not the devil's voice. Because the devil's going to appeal to your senses. What looks good, what smells good, what tastes good, what feels good. Hallelujah. What sounds good. He's always going to do that to draw you in. Because his motives is not right for you. But for you and I, the whole mark of a disciple is the ability to hear God's voice and obey. A lot of times people go to a Christian church because they want to hear what the pastor is saying. Well, it's all right for those 2 hours. Because, you know, if the pastor's hooked up with God, he or she's not going to tell you to do anything outside of God's will. But it should always line up with God. And our first priority is to hear God's voice. Just to hear God's voice and obey. That's what our whole life should be about. Well, you know, I want to quit this job. What is God saying? Well, I don't know what God's saying. Where are you coming up with this stuff from? Why are you trying to create all this stuff? We all want to be so creative and come up with new ideas. When that's never been the purpose of our relationship with God. What is God telling you to do? Well, you see that girl over there, she sure look good. She sure is fine. I think I'm going to marry her. Well, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Well, I think I might take me a trip to Timbuktu. What is God saying to you? Remember, I'm always telling you to follow what? Follow the peace. Follow the peace. Just follow the peace. I told you about that gentleman in one of our larger churches in the area one time told me, he said, listen, he said, Dan, he said, you don't believe all that stuff that the Bible talks about. This was a leader in the church. And I was just astonished. I said, what do you mean? Don't believe it. You know, this is God. I asked him, I said, don't you believe this? He said, no. He said, but if I don't act like I believe it, then they won't let me be the leader that I am in my church. This is real life. Now, I'm not, this is real life. Real life. I won't give out any names or anything, but this is real life. I'm saying, God, how many other folks out there are just going through the motions for the popularity or for the money or for whatever? I don't know why God brought us to planet Earth. I don't know what God's purpose and plan for us, but he made a way for us to be saved. Come on. From the clutches of the devil once we got here. He made a way for us to be delivered from sin, delivered from the consequences of following the devil. We call that salvation. And he's brought us here for a special purpose with a special plan. Each and every one of us. But you'll never reach it until you learn to hear his voice and obey. Not just hear his voice. What's the other part? Obey. Everybody say obey. Obey. Say, nobody like to obey. Hallelujah. I'm grown. Yeah, right. Obey. God is so good all the time, folks. He is so, so good. Let me take you to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. And this is in the King James Version. It says, but this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice. God speaking through a prophet. This is what I'm commanding you to do. Obey my voice. He's not commanding you to be in a certain building every week or whatever. He told us to forsake not the gathering together of ourselves once he calls us to a certain what we call church, you know. But he said, the main thing I want you to do is obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people and walk you in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. Hallelujah. It's just like having a 12-year-old child, boy, girl, doesn't really matter. And you're living next door. Listen, you're living next door to another family. And listen, that 12-year-old child will do everything that the parents next door tell them to do. But when they come in your house, you tell them to do something, they won't argue with you. Well, I'll do that later. Why are you always calling me to do it? But next door, the parents, all they got to do is ask them to do it. What's going to happen when they come and say, well, mom and daddy, I'm hungry. What you going to tell them? I know what you're going to tell them. Go next door. Are you with me? Go next door. Now, if you're going to follow everything that the person next door tell you to do, then you're really not my child, and I'm not responsible for you. And it's the same thing with us. If you're going to do everything the devil tells you to do, and that's who's telling you to do things that are opposite of what God wants you to do, if you're going to do everything that the devil tells you to do, then look to the devil for your blessings. Look to the devil for your goodness. Oh, he may throw a few bones at you, but he's not concerned about your welfare. He's concerned about using you. So this scripture says, but this thing I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you. In other words, obey me. Why? That it may be well with you. Hallelujah. It may be well unto you. See, I've learned that secret. So I'm constantly listening for the voice of God. If things don't go right, or if I need an answer, listen, I'm seeking God. Amen. I'm seeking what he wants me to do. I'm seeking where he wants me to go. I'm seeking what he wants me to say. And then once I get a piece about that direction, listen, I obey that. I do that. And things normally, if not always, work well with me in my actions. John chapter 10, verse 27. He's saying the same thing to us. He says, my sheep hear my voice. See, if we raise our hand and say we're saved, we're saying that we're one of his sheep. Well, if you're truly one of his sheep, you know his voice. And it goes on to say, and they follow me. Hallelujah. They follow me. Things are going to get so bad in our country within the Christian community that there will be a great falling away. Amen. I was reading this and God said, you better tell them. There will be a great falling away. And part of the reason I think there will be a great falling away is not that all these people, listen, are missing the mark, but many of them are following other people instead of hearing God's voice, hello, and doing what God say to do. Now, that great falling away is not that far away. It's at our back door. There's going to be persecutions of the church, what we consider the church. There's going to be persecutions. And if you haven't learned to hear God's voice and obey his voice, come on now, you're going to fall away. So you might as well decide today. Hallelujah. July 14, 2024. If you're going to live a life of hearing God's voice, are you just going to follow whatever you're following out there and just go with it? Things are about to change, and they're about to change drastically. I'm telling you that. All right? I'm not going to have to guess at that. Now, you just going to have to wait and let time prove that out. But I'm telling you here today, if you haven't learned to hear his voice and obey, you're going to have some problems. And hallelujah. Here's some results from hearing God's voice. Two results. First of all, when you learn to hear God's voice, you'll walk in what I call true faith. Secondly, you'll receive daily strength for living. Whatever it is you need, you'll get it from God as you learn to hear his voice. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Just don't follow the crowd. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. The crowd will take you in places you don't need to go. Today I want to begin talking about how to hear God's voice. That's the thing we need to know. That's what this thing is all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got 43 years left of living. You say, you're mighty bold saying that. How you know you got 43 years? Hallelujah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Amen. But I believe that I'm not going to be here, you know, at this local assembly for 43 years. I believe that God has a different purpose and a different plan. But whatever it is, you know, we're going to just be ready for it and just obey his voice. I believe God's got a different plan for you. Amen. Or you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be hearing this message today. But he has a different plan for you. And so you'll just have to wait until you hear his voice. And that voice takes you to the next level or the next step or whatever it needs to be. Jesus talked much about having ears to hear. Let me just share a few scriptures really quick. I like to use a lot of scripture because it's not about my word you need to be dependent upon. You need to be dependent upon God's word, what God said. And first of all, Mark chapter 4, verse 9, and it said, and he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And then in the 23rd verse of the same chapter, it says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus was not referring to physical ears. Because I know most of us have not audibly heard the voice of God. I understand that. But here he's not talking about physical ears when he says, if any man have ears to hear. Jesus was talking about an inner condition of the heart. He'll speak to you and inside you'll just hear it. You'll just know it. All right? You'll just know it. It's not, like I said, it's not a loud sound or anything like that that you can detect with your physical ears. It's just something that you can detect with the inner condition of your heart. I want to show you an example from the life of Solomon. And I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, one verse. See, David had passed on and Solomon, his son, had become the new king. Now, we know now that that's what God had ordained, but Solomon was still a young man. A young man. All of a sudden, he found himself king over all these people. Lots and lots and lots of people. So look at verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said this. He says, ask what I shall give you. In other words, what do you want? What do you want? If God was to come to you right now, or come to you this afternoon, or come to you tomorrow morning, and ask you, what do you want? What would be your answer to it? What would be your answer? How would you answer that? Here was a young man, come on, that had the wealth that came with the job, had the power that came with the job, had the people, had the positions that came with the job, and God was asking him, what do you want? Now, I don't know everybody's, I don't know anybody other than myself, personal situation, but how would you answer this question if God came to you and say, what do you want? What do you want? In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, because in verse 5, God said, tell me what you want and I'm going to give it to you. And God is saying the exact same thing to us as Christians. What do you want? I'm going to give it to you. What do you want? And I'm going to give it to you. What do you want? For a third time. And I'm going to give it to you. How would you answer that question? Would you say, Lord, I want to be healed? Would you say, Lord, I want my children delivered? Would you say, Lord, I want all my bills paid and my bank account increased? What do you want? God is asking us that question today. What do you want? Because some things are so far above our ability to achieve in the natural, we don't dare ask God for it. Look how Solomon responds in 1 Kings 3, verse 7 to 10. He says, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. Say, you made me king. He understood that God had did that. And I am but a little child. And compared to his father, he was. He said, I know not how to go out or how to come in. You know what he was saying? I don't have a clue what I'm doing. That's what he was saying. I don't have a clue. Anybody ever felt that way, that you don't have a clue of what you're doing? Anybody? Amen. Well, you don't have a clue of what's going on. I've been in that situation so many times. But now I understand. I understand how to maneuver through that simply by seeking God. And then in verse 8 he says, and thy servant, talking about himself, is in the midst of thy people, which thou have chosen, a great people, a whole bunch of folks that cannot be numbered nor counted because of multitude. He said, look, you done made me king over all these folks. And I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And then in verse 9, he says, this is what I want. He says, give therefore thy servant, talking about himself, give me an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? He said, listen, give me wisdom. That's what he was asking for. Give me wisdom to handle this job. Just give me wisdom. I don't want to look like a fool in front of all these people. Give me wisdom. In verse 10, he says, and the speech please the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. He was saying, give me a discerning and understanding heart. Give me your wisdom. That's all I want. I don't want more gold. I don't want more treasures. I don't want more women. I don't want more nothing. Amen. Just give me wisdom. What do you want from God today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to follow the example of Solomon there and just ask God for wisdom. Ask God for patience. Come on. Ask God to draw you closer to him so that you can be more sensitive to his voice. Amen. We can ask for all the material things, but they won't solve all your problems. Solomon had wisdom enough to know that. He said, what I really need is more wisdom. Hallelujah. A discerning or understanding heart is translated in Hebrews as a hearing heart. That's when God talked about hearing. It's a hearing heart, a heart that can hear God. The best thing that any of us can do as Christians is develop a way in our lives and a way of our moving to where we can hear God inside. The best thing that ever happened to me, I know, is that I became more and more sensitive to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm able to tell you to follow the peace and know what I'm talking about. Because when God is trying to get you to go one way and your mind is trying to get you to do a different thing, you will not have peace. You can make it happen if you want, but you will not have peace. Not at all. It's with your heart, not your physical ear, that you hear God. Remember that. Because a lot of people say, I never heard God. I'm saying, well, you never were listening. Because he was talking. I'm sure he was talking to you sometime or another. He was talking to you. Hallelujah. He may have talked to you about picking out a mate. I don't know. He might talk to you about moving to a certain city or going to and becoming a part of a local church. He's been talking to you. And if he hasn't been talking to you, what kind of relationship you've been having with God? You've been on your own. You've been doing what you think is right. And nobody's told you, look, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's like being in a house with two or three children. You never talk to those children. Never. Not a word. That ain't going to work. It's not going to work. I'll tell you one thing's going to happen in that situation. Those children are going to do what they think is right. Amen. Every single time. Hallelujah. Your heart is like a physical safe. You know those safe, that safe crackers crack? It's like a physical safe. It's the place where you keep things that really matter to you. Inside here. Oh, church, listen to me now. If you get to the place where you learn to hear God's voice, when he's speaking to you, I'm going to tell you, your life changes instantly. Because you and I are not here for the physical things. The best thing God could have done when he saved you is to let you come on home. Then you would have no problems. And they tell me that things are a million times better on the other side. But because God has a plan and a purpose for your life, he allowed you to stay here. We are so afraid of dying. And I say, why? Why? I'm not saying go out and make it happen, but I'm saying it's going to be better on the other side. So why did he leave us here? He left us here because he has a purpose for us, and he has a plan for us. Not for us to sit around and try to figure out how to make this thing work. No. We'd have been better off if he just took us home. But many of us have never got to the place where we even expect to hear from God. God's a good God all the time. Let me take you to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart. See, that's your ear. That's your safe. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Let's talk just for a minute about the opposite of a hearing heart. The opposite of a hearing heart is called spiritual deafness. Everybody say those two words. Spiritual deafness. Well, you can't hear spiritually. You're just moving on your own. The worst position you could be on planet Earth for a confessing saved person is to be where you don't hear God and you're just doing what makes sense to your natural mind. That's the worst place for Christians to be in. Hallelujah. God will put you on jobs you know you don't want to be bothered with. He'll move you to cities that you know you don't want to move to. He'll give you an assignment that you say, that's the last thing I'm going to do. We've got to learn to hear the voice of God. The Old and the New Testament both have much to say about people that are spiritually deaf. They can't hear. Jesus mentioned people being spiritually deaf. Let me just show you that in a minute. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 through 15. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, the whole message that I'm talking about today is talking about us having the responsibility to get ourselves in a position where we hear God. Thank God for the pastors. Thank God for our spiritual leaders. But you need to hear God regularly. Regularly. You can't be in this building 7 days a week, 24 hours. You can't. Or you shouldn't want to. But you can be with God that long. Look at Matthew 13, verse 13 through 15. This is Jesus talking. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables. He was explaining why he told these stories to people. He said, because they sin, they see not. And even though they hear, they really hear not. And neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. That's how it is today in the religious circle. You know, people are doing all kinds of things that we know God's not telling them to do. Saying all kinds of things. Making a decision that you know God's not telling them to make. Hallelujah. He said, for the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time, hallelujah, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. This is the culture in which we're living in now. We're going through the motions. We're singing some songs. We're giving some messages. Come on. But people are confessing salvation, but doing exactly what they want to do. It doesn't mean they're doing what you may call sinful things. They're just doing what they want to do, not what God want to do. They're not. They're not even considering God. I'm saying, do you understand what you have moved into when you've gotten saved? Now you're not your own. You've been bought with a what? Price. That's the word of God. You can't just do what you want to do anymore. You can't. If you're not going to serve God's purpose as a saved person, ask God to take you home. Oh, you say, I preach you crazy now. If you're not going to live for the purpose of God, ask him to take you home. He may do it. I don't know. If you're saved, you're saved. But it's all about hearing his voice. That's what I'm saying here today. We're supposed to hear his voice, all of us. But we don't expect to hear his voice. We expect some preacher to hear his voice and tell us. Oh, we're like those people. Come on. I told Moses, said, Moses, you go hear what God is saying and then come back and tell us. No, no, we're not living in that 2,000-year period of time. We're living in this last 2,000-year period of time where we've got the ability to be saved. No, you need to hear God's voice for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're at a place now, listen to me now, we're at a place now, you go a lot of places and people with the title of salvation are saying things, listen, that they shouldn't be saying, and we can't even detect that it's not of God. Something's wrong here, folks. It's wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God. In verse 14 again, it says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing they shall hear, and shall not understand, and shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. That's how we are. We're walking around. Come on now. Saying that we're saved, saying that, listen, we're God's child and all that stuff, but we're not hearing and obeying. Hallelujah. One of the traits of a child living in my house is that he's hearing me and he's doing what I'm telling him to do. I just tell my kids all the time, they act foolish. Now, your kids never act foolish. And I understand that. I really do. I really understand that. But I used to tell them, that's what even could tell you. And they acting foolish. I tell them, I say, okay, listen, this is what we do. I say, why don't you just run away? I say, I will wait 2 days before I call the cops. Give you plenty of time to run away. Because long as you're in this house, hello, are you with me? You're going to do what I tell you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Now, I didn't really want them to run away. But if they did, they did. Amen? I wasn't going to allow disobedience. And God's not going to allow disobedience from you and I. You say, well, I'm not a bad person. Well, the question is not whether or not you're a bad or good person. The question is whether or not you're hearing and obeying. Whether God's calling the shots or you calling the shots. That's the question. You got to answer that for yourself. I can't answer that for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God. We don't even understand, listen, as a people, we don't even understand the fact that God will choose a local church for you to go to for a period of time. We don't understand that. I know that. It doesn't make us bad people, but the culture is like that. Well, I'm going to go find me. You ain't got to find nothing. All you got to do is have a willing mind to hear and obey. Hallelujah. Just hear and obey. When we were raising children, they didn't have to figure out nothing. For that household, nothing. Absolutely nothing. They didn't have to figure out nothing. We guided them. We told them what to do. They didn't have to figure out nothing. If the refrigerator was empty, they didn't have to figure out how to fill it up. All they had to do is hear and obey. And that's all God wants from us. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here today? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was saying that this people's heart had become what we call callous because they were just doing what they want to do. And that's how it is today for a large portion of the body of Christ. People are just doing what they want to do. You can't do that, folks. Hallelujah. Let's compare what the psalmist said to Israel in the Old Testament. Psalm 95. Now, don't get weary of this word, okay? Don't do that. Just let the word come. Just let it flow. God's trying to do something here. If we ever needed to hear the voice of God and obey, it's now. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not guessing. Things are going to get worse. They're going to get worse. There will be a great falling away of God's people. And it's simply because the majority of us have not learned to hear and obey God's voice. That's what this whole thing's all about. Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, as we compare what the psalmist says to Israel in the Old Testament about hearing. He said, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today," everybody say today. "If you hear his voice," come on, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the days of temptation in the wilderness. I believe God allowed me to go through certain things because of you. So I can tell you, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth every time. I'm going to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. I'm going to share with you the good and the bad. And no big deal. I ain't worried about the past because the past is over. Amen. Now we're living in a whole different thing. Hallelujah. God's a good God. He says, "Hearken not your voice as in the days of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." He was talking to the Israelites because they had come through this thing. He said, when you hear God's voice, harden not your heart and say, "I'm going to just do my own thing." You don't have a thing. God's got a thing and the devil's got a thing. Now, you choose the side you're going to be on. You choose who you're going to obey. But you don't have a thing. You say, "Well, this is something I want to do." No, that wasn't something you wanted to do. It was something the enemy was putting in your heart to do. Because if it wasn't God, it was the enemy. I believe that there are many of God's people today who never enter into God's rest. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Never enter that thing where you're just guided day by day by God. Hallelujah. The only way to enter in God's rest is to hear his voice. It's time, folks. Look at somebody and say, it's time. The two words that the Bible uses to describe the hearts that cannot hear God are two words, are callous and hardened. So you'll hear those two words over and over in the Old and the New Testament. The words that describe the opposites of callous and hardened is sensitive. My question to you is your heart sensitive to the voice of God? Can you hear God's voice? We have to develop sensitivity to God's voice. One thing we have to learn about God is that he doesn't shout. He never shouts. He never. I may shout. You may shout. But he never shouts. He normally talks in a quiet voice. So we must be sensitive to his voice. You know, it's almost like being around a natural person that, you know, something has happened to their vocal cords, and they can't talk that loudly, so they talk in whisper and whispering. And a person like that, you're going to have to pay attention. Are you with me? You're going to have to pay attention, or you're going to miss what they're trying to say to you. And it's the same way with God. See, you're going to have to develop your heart to be sensitive to the voice of God. Otherwise, you're going to just keep doing your thing. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not guessing again. I'm telling you, things are going to get worse. That's not for you to be afraid. It's just to prepare you. I don't know how many other folks are telling folks that, but I'm telling you, this is the word of God. I'm telling you that. God is a good God. We have to develop sensitivity to God's voice. One thing we have to learn about God is that he doesn't shout. And I said that. He normally talks in a quiet voice, so we must be sensitive to that voice. Hallelujah. I hope that you have developed that sensitivity to his voice. It's time, folks. It's time to move on. It's time to change. Amen. Amen? It's time to change. Not for the person sitting next to us, not for our spiritual leaders down here, but for us and God. It's time. If you believe that there's a God, then we need to be on about this thing. We need to develop a sensitivity to his voice and a mindset that once we hear him, we're going to obey it. God will tell you to stay somewhere where you don't want to stay. God will tell you to leave somewhere where you don't want to leave. Hallelujah. God will tell you to sell something that you want to keep. God will tell you to buy something that you don't want to buy. But that's why you've got to be sensitive to his voice. There are four requirements for achieving a sensitive heart. The first two requirements are attention and humility. Let's say those two words, attention and humility. See, these two requirements are stated many times in the book of Proverbs. And let's look at just a few of these just for a moment. Don't get weary of hearing this word. I don't know if I'll be here next week. I don't know if you'll be here next week. But if God is speaking to it, and if God is drawing us here, we're going to just take time to hear him. That's just the bottom line. If you don't want to hear him, what are we here for? What are we doing? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear into my savings. You see, the word incline means, to incline your ear means to bow down your head, which implies humility. Humility. So he wants you to be attentive to him, and he wants you to be humble to him. And then in Proverbs 5 and 1, he says, my son, here again, he says, attend. Everybody say attend. Attend. Which means pay attention. He says, attend unto my wisdom and bow. See that word bow, talking about humility again. Bow thy ear to my understanding. And then in Proverbs 22:17, he starts off with the humility thing. He said, bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart unto my knowledge. It's time out for religion as we know it. As we know it. You're either going to hear God and follow God, or you're just doing your own thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you one thing. Let me tell you something. You start hearing and obeying God, you'll never be broke another day in your life. I'm telling you what I know. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. In summary, we must give God our undivided attention. Don't be afraid of silence. When you don't hear God, don't be afraid of that. When he's ready to speak, he's going to speak to you. But meanwhile, just keep doing the last thing he told you to do. In addition, we have to be humble and open. We can't let our opinions and religious teachings keep us from hearing God. Just in this room alone, most of us have experienced other religious environments. All right? You can't let all that stuff you heard over the years affect your relationship with God today. Are you with me? Because we start throwing out stuff that we heard and we used to believe, I'm telling you, it'll just blow your mind. All that stuff is just back there, all right? But today, the word you need to hear is to be sensitive to God's voice and obey. Hallelujah. The next two requirements after that, being attentive to God and humility, is time and quietness. Everybody say those two words, time and quietness. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still. Everybody say, be still. Be still. We are so busy running here and there and to and fro. Why? He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. We will hear, listen to me, we will hear from God many, many times when we take time to wait on God. Do you have a quiet time that you get with God every day? That brings us to a quiet time. Just thinking about that. Be still. Be still. We're so busy trying to make it happen. You don't have to make it happen. You just have to let it happen. But it begins with hearing God's voice and making your mind you're going to obey. And then it just happens. It just happens. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. Psalm 62 and 1 says, truly my soul waited upon God. From him cometh my salvation. 62 and 5 says, my soul wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from God, not the spiritual leaders here on earth. Amen. Thank God for them. They have a responsibility. They have their job. Hallelujah. But our expectation is from God. See, brothers and sisters, listen to me now. There's no better preparation for us to achieve this attitude than the preparation of worship. Worship. Get in the habit of worshiping God every single day. Worship. Worship. You know, worship is not necessarily just a song. Worship is an attitude where you acknowledge that he is God. Sometimes the devil brings some stuff upon you. You be so scared. You be so worried. Come on now. You be so worried. So worried. So worried. You know, there's things that's happened in our lives. You know, many, many nights I've had to tell my wife, I said, go to sleep. God got it. Just go to sleep. It's already taken care of. Now, in her mind, she may not have understood that. But in our relationship, she knew that if I said that, then God must have it. And she went on. Psalm 95, verse 6 through 8 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, everybody say today. Today, if you will hear his voice, hearken not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We shared that scripture earlier this morning. When you hear him, listen, first of all, just get some time aside and just worship God. Realize who he is. Hallelujah. Not what he looks like, not what he feels, not even what he sounds like, but who he is. Hearken not your voice when he tells you to do something different than what you want to do. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're not here for all the fried chicken. That's why we're here. The best thing God could have did was just save us and took us home. But if he did that, his purpose would not be accomplished. You're here not for yourself. I'm here not for myself, but for God's purpose. That's why we're breathing. God's purpose. When John the Baptist's purpose was finished, he was taken out of here. We may not agree with the way he was taken out, but he was taken out of here. When Jesus' purpose was finished, he was taken out of here. When your purpose is finished, it's fine for God to take you out of here. In conclusion today, we hear from God with our hearts, not our physical ears. Like a blind person cultivates their fingers to be sensitive to Braille, we must cultivate our hearts to be sensitive to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when you get to that place, nothing unravels you. You know, when bad things hit you all at once, you might be a little bit upset, but if you've got that relationship with God, hallelujah, it won't be long before you're stable again. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how hard it is. You got that. You know that God's got that situation for you. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. The four requirements for achieving a sensitive heart, once again, attention, humility, time, and quietness. Brothers and sisters, let's begin to cultivate our hearts to be sensitive to the voice of God. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters. Let's get out of this thing that we grew up in, this religious thing. All right? I'm not talking about whether or not the Bible is true or anything like that. I'm talking about our perception of what this whole thing is all about. It's about us learning to hear God's voice and then obey what he tells us to do. Hallelujah. Let's just go to God in prayer. Father God, we've heard your word. Father, develop that hunger in our hearts and our spirits and our minds, Lord God, to hear your voice, to be sensitive to your voice. We commit ourselves, Lord God, as a group, hallelujah, to be committed to doing exactly what you tell us to do. We understand, Lord God, how easy it is, hallelujah, how easy it is to recognize your voice as we learn to follow your peace that you give us. Now, Lord, we decree and declare that your purpose for this local body shall be accomplished as more and more of us, hallelujah, enter into that realm of total obedience to whatever it is you want us to do on a day.